Kent Online News.
News you can trust.
This is the Kent Online Podcast. Nicola Everett.
Hello, hope you're okay. Thanks ever so much for downloading today's podcast. It's Friday, August the 8th. Coming up, residents on a housing estate in Medway say they've been dealing with sewage issues for 16 years. We'll hear from one of them. And we've been speaking to the Jewels manager ahead of their first home game of the season. But first today, a four-year-old boy has died after being hit by a bus outside a Kent hospital. Emergency crews rushed to the car park at the QEQM in Margate after it happened yesterday afternoon. Well, Lucy joins me now with more on this incredibly sad story. Lucy, the little boy's mum has paid tribute.
That's right. Azaria Green has revealed she'd been visiting her mum at the hospital when the tragedy happened. She says little Zahir Jan fell under the vehicle and despite the efforts of paramedics, he couldn't be saved. In a tribute online, she's described her little boy as beautiful, adding she can't believe what's happened. She says, a sweet, funny boy with a cheeky smile that could make anyone's heart full.
A heartbreaking tribute, Lucy. We've put that in full, actually, within the story at Kent Online. Now, what have police said?
Well, they've told us the vehicle involved was a white single-decker bus that was travelling near the entrance to the Accidents and Emergency Department. It happened at around 4pm. Ramsgate Road outside the hospital was closed in both directions before reopening at around 6:45. An air ambulance was also seen landing nearby.
And even more terribly, this is the second tragedy for this family within just a few days.
That's right. We reported earlier in the week how Azaria's sister-in-law, Taz Green, had been found dead by her teenage son on Sunday, a day before her 52nd birthday. Her daughter, Kaya, has spoken of the family's devastation. Now her young cousin has also died. She says it's unbelievable. He was so tiny. Adding, it's been horrific.
Lucy, thank you ever so much. Well, police are still very keen to hear from any witnesses who haven't yet spoken to officers. They're being urged to call 01622 798 538. That's 01622 798 538. Or you can email sciu.td@kent.pnn.police.uk, quoting a reference number. We have put all of those details within the story at Kent Online.
Kent Online News.
Other news today, and two men have been charged with murder by detectives investigating the death of another man in Sittingbourne. He reportedly fell from a wall and collided with a vehicle after being chased in the town centre on Saturday night. Emergency crews were called to St Michael's Road near the junction with Dover Street. Our reporter Joe Crosley has been at the scene.
Floor tributes have been left here over the last couple of days. One which had a note in it says, "Special partner, forever and always in my heart. I love you."
A 33 and 43-year-old were due in court yesterday. US Vice President J.D. Vance will be holding talks with the Foreign Secretary in Kent today. David Lammy's invited him to stay at his country house in Chevening near Sevenoaks. The pair are said to have developed a close relationship throughout their first year in government. They've also previously been strong critics of President Trump. Pictures at Kent Online today show mould found at a supermarket in Kent following a visit by inspectors. Their reports detailed a poor standard of cleaning at the store on Romney Place in Maidstone. It was given a 2-star rating, down from a 5 awarded earlier this year. Supermarket bosses say immediate action was taken to put things right. Now, housing companies being urged to do more to support residents in Stroud who say they're dealing with ongoing sewage problems. We're told waste from toilets has been coming up through sinks at Kingsware Gardens. Local Democracy reporter Ollie Leader has been chatting to Heru Asisimba, who's among those living there.
Historically, we've had issues with Orbit for 15 or 16 years with sewage backflow into the property, causing blocked toilets, sewage to leak on the floor, whether that be from the sink, backing up through the sink, or from the back of the toilet. That's gone on, as I say, since 2009, and we've had to constantly be calling up, asking them to repair things or to work out what the actual major issue is, and we don't really end up getting any answers. On top of that, a couple of years ago we had a leak that came from the upstairs bathroom into our kitchen. that blew our thermostat, or at least our thermostat control. It caused electrical issues, and it's now caused some damp and some mould to appear on the kitchen ceiling as well. Nothing's been done about that either. It's just been left, and we're just left with circular arguments and being told that we have to wait a certain period or process for things to get sorted.
So when did this all begin? Because I was quite shocked when I found out how long you've been feeling this fight.
Oh, it's as I say, it's happened since August of 2009. It was the first time that we'd had issues with the backflow. Bringing it up to modern day, it's since been found out that there's collapsed ducting in our sewage, which is out in sort of the garden, and that comes out to the main street. And because that wasn't ever identified back in 2009 and fixed, we've had these ongoing issues for the last 16, 15 years.
Can you describe what it's like when you wake up to find your kitchen flooded with sewer? You go out back to your garden, absolutely wrecked. How does it kind of make you feel living here?
It makes you feel hopeless. It can feel depressing. You know, you wake up and you wonder what the next thing is that's going to go wrong. With the sewage, it's a biohazard. Obviously, I've got my daughter and my sons here, and who were younger then as well, over the years. And it's a worry. It's a daily stress, whether something's going to be contaminated, whether you're going to have that issue where it splurts up out of the sink and onto walls or onto the floor. You have a constant daily reminder of it, especially with sort of the ceiling peeling. And cracks in the wall, things like that, you just have to deal with it every single day. So it's very stressful.
I can imagine trying to raise a family, you make your house up, you want to make sure your children are having a nice, safe environment to grow up in. And it must be really difficult when you have, as you said before, these biohazards squirting up all over the place.
Yeah, that's it. I mean, the whole issue is, as I say, is with sewage, is obviously it's a backflow of multiple people's sewage. It's not nice. You're having to clean it up. You're having to try and contain it as much as you can. Stop the children from using that toilet even. And it's just a lot of pressure and added stress that's unnecessary. To the point where now our floorboards are contaminated. They know they are, but they're not doing anything about it. So, yeah, it's just an knock-on effect of lots of different things.
Well, a spokesperson for Orbit has sent us a statement. It says, we're aware of an ongoing intermittent drainage blockage at Kingsware Gardens. On reports of blockages in June and July, we attended to empty the main drain and complete a jet clean of the affected pipes, clearing the drains each time. We've also undertaken a CCTV survey of the drain pipeline we're responsible for to identify if any further works are required, and we'll update our customers as soon as we are able. It continues, we are liaising with the water company who are responsible for the main shared drainage system. We're in regular contact with the affected customers and committed to supporting them with a long-term solution as soon as possible. We'd like to thank our customers for their patience and apologise for any inconvenience this has caused.
Kent Online reports.
Now, you're being asked what you think the County Council should be spending money on in future. Reform UK have launched a consultation into their first budget since taking control of the authority following the local elections in May. They want to know what services should be protected and how money could be saved. Well, this weekend actually marks 100 days since Reform UK won the local elections. We'll be covering that more in the podcast on Monday. It's feared more people in Kent could be glorifying animal cruelty on social media for likes and shares. The RSPCA has released figures showing a 27% rise in reports across the country between January and May. One case recently involved a teenager from Ashford who killed a seagull with a catapult and held it up as a trophy for his friend to film. Well, David Bowles is from the charity and he's been chatting to Gabriel from our colleagues at KMTV.
The Online Safety Act makes it illegal for any content to be posted online which involves animal cruelty. We're seeing images such as people boasting about hunting deer, hunting badger baiting, but we're also seeing deliberate acts such as rats being drowned in water, cats being kicked across the room. So the RSPCA is very concerned that these images seem to be increasing. As you said, we had a 27% increase from this time last year on the number of images that we have seen online showing animal cruelty. These images, if they are against the Animal Welfare Act, they should be moderated and taken offline. But obviously, there are quite a few images that are still online. And we are hoping that the moderators at the major companies will start to take action.
And of course, the Online Safety Act came into force earlier this year. Social media platforms, do you think they're doing enough to comply?
No, they're not. There has been this ongoing discussion, particularly between the ones based in America, as to how they're going to implement the legislation. The legislation has now been in place since March, when it has been a legal requirement for moderators to take images that are cruel and would be prosecuted in the UK, take them offline. But as the RSPCA data shows, we are seeing a reverse to what we hope we'll be seeing. We are seeing an increase of 27% on images that we are finding online, and it should be going the other way. So the RSPCA is worried that companies such as Facebook, who are number one in our list of companies that publish these images, they have reduced rather than increased the number of moderators. So a lot more needs to be done by the tech companies, and we hope that Ofcom, who regulates and enforces the legislation, will start to take some meaningful action as well.
What steps are you guys taking to help?
So we are moderating, and we're finding images, as our article today says. We are processing those, and we're handing those over to Ofcom, who are the enforcement agencies. So we and obviously we are also asking your viewers and members of the public, if they see images that they think could be cruelty and contrary to what the Online Safety Act says, then report them to Ofcom as the regulator, but also let us know and we will investigate them, particularly if they've occurred in this country.
A construction company based near Faversham has gone out of business after racking up debts of nearly £800,000. Ashford Timber Limited, which was trading as National Stables, has gone into voluntary liquidation. The firm has just £77 in its bank account. A liquidator has been appointed to try and repay what they owe. Sad news from a Kent Animal Park today following the death of the world's first hand-reared black rhino. Rosie was 36 and had moved to Port Lim near Hythe in 2011. Keepers have described her as having a feisty yet loving nature. It's feared four horses could have to be rehomed after a stable was destroyed in a fire near Gravesend. Around £6,000 worth of shelter and equipment was lost in the blaze on Station Road in Southfleet in the early hours of Monday. The horses managed to escape into fields. The owners set up a fundraising page to try and recover the money.
Kent Online reports.
Now, Dover businessmen's hit out at the local town council after a public bike rack was installed directly in front of the doorway to his new property. Roger Knights is planning to launch an art gallery on the first floor of the former Barclays Bank building in Market Square. But he's concerned visitors won't be able to use the main entrance and has been chatting to reporter Sam Lennon.
For our use and to bring some culture and some investment into Dover, we need to open that door, because on the ground floor we have a children's play area. And we're going to open up a gallery on the first floor, possibly the second floor. And in order to do that, we need access. Now, we can't have the public walking through a child's play area to access a gallery. Which is on the upper floor. So opening up the original doorway made perfect sense. The planning department at Dover District Council say it's permitted development, so there's no issues with opening it. It's a logical sense, both in the practicalities of the building, but also from a business point of view.
Well, the local authorities say they're responsible for ensuring street furniture is managed according to the law. A big issue seller in Canterbury says he's been humbled by support he's received after being told to keep his dog muzzled. Mark Stevenson was given advice by police after socks nipped a security guard's trousers. The pair are familiar faces outside the M&S Food Hall in Whitefriars. It's been revealed work on a multi-million pound building in Dover should be finished next spring. The four-storey Beacon will be a business, arts and education facility. Council bosses say the project is on schedule to complete in May 2026, and prospective tenants for the on-site cafe are due to be interviewed this week. Organisers of Deal Carnival are hoping to have a display by the Red Arrows to mark their 200th anniversary event. They're hoping to raise an extra £20,000 to fund next year's celebrations. This year's carnival happened last week and featured the traditional float parade through the town. And finally, a group of young people are preparing for their first performance of one of the most popular musicals. But after just 2 weeks of rehearsals, Medway Academy of Performing Arts launched a summer intensive programme. Jamie Knights is co-principal.
MAPA started in 2020 with our flagship school at the Howard School on Saturdays, which runs from 10 a.m. to 1 p.m. We then opened our second school here at the Waterfront UTC Chatham, which runs every Wednesday from 5 p.m. until 8 p.m. This year is our first summer youth musical, which is we decided to be Les Miserables, London's longest running musical. We thought it would be the best show for our kids in Medway and out in surrounding areas to take part in this 2 week summer intensive to put the show on, which is going to be at the Glass Box Theatre at Mid Kent College on Friday the 8th of August, Saturday and Sunday, 2:30 on Friday and two shows on Saturday and one on Sunday, another matinee Sunday. We've given this opportunity to students in Medway and Kent and surrounding areas as we think it's a wonderful opportunity for them to improve their confidence, hone their drama skills, their singing skills, their acting skills, their dance skills, and ultimately make new friends and work together along the way to produce something that is going to be exceptional.
Well, 38 students aged 10 to 18 are involved. Henry Luck from our colleagues at KMTV has been speaking to Odin Smith from Medway, who's one of the actors.
So I play the role of Javert, which is basically the main character, Jean Valjean's nemesis. And the point of my character is to kind of depict this impending doom that follows him throughout his life, and it shows you the journey we both go on.
So please tell us about the programme you're on, the Intensive Summer School programme.
So the Intensive Summer School is a 2 week programme that really pushes us to develop as performers in terms of learning lines and having that pure focus the whole time. It requires a lot of energy, a lot of focus, but it's a great experience and it really does put on a good show.
Why did you decide to take part?
Well, Les Mis is such a beautiful show, and when I heard about the amazing things that MAPA were planning to do with it in the summer school, I thought it would be it'd be a shame to miss out on such a nice opportunity.
And what have you learned leading up to the play? What sorts of skills have you developed from this compared to a few before it started?
I think Les Mis definitely pushes you from a technique point of view, especially singing. Like my diction and my breath control has had become much better just because of how taxing some of the songs are.
Kent Online Sports.
Cricket first up, and Kent have had a bit of a disappointing start to their One Day Cup campaign. They lost by 3 wickets to Sussex Sharks in Arundel after the home side beat their target of 287. Bowler Michael Cohen made his debut for the Spitfires and put in a pretty good performance, but couldn't stop the home side beating their target. Elsewhere in the 100, an unbeaten half century from Kent, Zach Crawley helped Northern Superchargers ease to an 8-wicket victory over Welsh Fire last night. He smashed 67 runs from just 38 balls as they pass the victory target of 144 with 11 deliveries to spare. On to football now, and it's Gillingham's first home game of the season this weekend. They're taking on Walsall in League 2 at Priestfield. It follows the Gills' 1-1 draw away at Accrington Stanley last Saturday. First up, let's hear from manager Gareth Ainsworth.
Nice to be at home. Say everyone ramps up to that first game, but there's a whole host of games now coming up, and first one he's here at Priestfield, you know, and Walsall will be a tough opposition. They won with 10 men last week against Swindon, so we've watched them. Difficult to put a plan together, really, because they only get sort of 20 minutes of footage with 11 men, and they probably changed. They're not going to start with 10 men against us, you know. So we've delved into pre-season a little bit, have a look at them. But again, it's going to be all about us and what we do. It's really important this season to understand that we can define our own destiny, you know, the way we play, the way we apply ourselves in games and the qualities we bring. So we've been working hard on that this week. Reflecting on last week, I thought it was a great point, you know, away from home. And then midweek, when you see what Accrington did to Oldham, you know, in the cup, again, you think another great point, you know. It's good to bring something back from the road on that first day, and the nature coming back into it. The boys are buzzing. So one or two injuries as well, getting closer now, getting out on the pitches, and we're seeing almost a full squad training, you know, barring Ewan. And that's really good to see. So I'm hoping to have some selection issues come the weekend, but definitely the upcoming games against Wimbledon and Tranmere and going forward. But yeah, Saturday's all about Walsall. Can't wait for the fans to get down here and get behind us. We've promised that we'll play attacking football, we'll get at teams, and the excitement hopefully will build as we get closer to the weekend.
Well, it's meant to be good. I think it might be near 7,000 supporters here on Saturday, so the atmosphere is going to be quite special.
Yeah, the guys travel well. Guys and girls, they travel really well, you know. They were brilliant at weekend, and that's a long way to go. I know I'm from that way, so thank you for that. And again, you know, a thank you in advance for turning up on Saturday, because it's tough. The school holidays going on, people are away from everywhere. It'll be a nice sunny day. There's better things to do, I'm sure, in a lot of people's minds than come to a football game. But you'll get your diehards, who that's all they live for. That's great, and I want to get this family atmosphere back to Gillingham, you know, and that real feel part of it, you know, bringing generations of grandfathers and dads and kids and, you know, all coming together. That's what football to me was all about back in the day, and you know, we're a very accommodating club, and once that Rainham gets going, it's something special to experience, and I'm looking forward to that as well.
And Jules player Max Clark has been chatting to our reporter Luke Cordell.
We're all looking forward to it. We've got great fans and they always back us home and away, but it's just nice to be back home, and we're really looking forward to getting out there and making sure that we make it a hard place to come this season. And like I said, we're really looking forward to the first home game of the season. It's a great buzz, you know, this week, knowing that we've got the first game out there, and yeah, we're all looking forward to it.
What's it like when you've got a positive manager and he's on the sidelines and he's not moaning at you, he's encouraging you? It must make a difference, must it?
Oh yeah, definitely. It drives you on, and you know, like sometimes it helps you out, you know, if you're in a bad situation in the game, and it just keeps you going, you know, and it can recover you so quick. He's so positive, and like, he's a real winner as well, you know, like, he's like, but he's always got your back. I think that's the most important thing. Like, he always, whether you make a mistake, he's got your back, you know, and I think that's important as well, you know, because we have got a lot of young players and they're learning, but we've also got an experienced players as well what want to help them out as well. But like I said, he's always got everyone's back, yeah. Whether the team, the squad, the staff, like, he's literally like there for you, and I think that's important, you know. It makes you want to do well for him, you know, and I think you've seen that since he's been here, and the fans all have seen that. Yeah, he's just a real, real good guy and real winner.
It's constructive stuff he says to you, isn't it, rather than just, what are you doing?
Yeah, no, it's constructive, and it's so helpful if you can go to him and he'll help you out in a situation. And the thing is as well, with this gaffer, he's always got ideas for you.
Yeah.
So there's always a solution of how he can play. I think that's important, to have different ways of playing, and he always brings that, and he backs us, you know, literally for everything. So like, we want to back him as well, you know, which we do, and we want to fight for him and get the points.
And finally, Kent's Alessia Russo's in the running to be named the best player in the world. Fellow Lionesses Lucy Bronze, Hannah Hampton, Chloe Kelly and Leah Williamson have also been nominated for the prestigious Women's Ballon d'Or. Manager Serena Wiegmann is up for best coach after England retained their Euros title. Well, that's all from us for today. Thanks ever so much for listening. Don't forget, you can follow us on socials, plus you can get details on the top stories direct to your email each morning via the briefing. To sign up, just head to kentonline.co.uk, and whilst you're on the site, you can also sign up to Kent Online Premium. That gives you access to content with fewer ads and exclusive stories, and if you use the promo code Nicola Everett, all one word, at the checkout, you'll get £30 off the price of an annual subscription. Whilst you're on the site today, don't forget to check out the latest review from our secret drinker and the What's On pages for everything going on in the county over the weekend. Hope you have a fantastic couple of days. We'll be back with the podcast on Monday.
News you can trust. This is the Kent Online Podcast.